Hello, and welcome to the Decorum Talking newspaper for the week ending Saturday, the 22nd of November, 2025. This is Jeremy, and your other readers are Pam, Cherry, and Eleanor. The editor this week is Eleanor. All are members of Team One. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted, and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. This week, we are sponsored by Bridge Garage Services, which is just behind Pets at Home, Apsley. They have over 30 years' experience in all types of car and van MOT and servicing. Telephone 235 412. Website bridgegaragehemel.co.uk. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. This week's headlines. Nurse sacked for misconduct. New mobile CCTV cameras. Curry House is a winner. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Pam. A dishonest nurse has been struck off after she falsified patient records at a Hemel Hempstead care home. A misconduct panel from the Nursing and Midwifery Council concluded that Anna Marie Curran had tried to cover up her failure to give medication to a patient at Watermill House care home. The panel found that in May 2021, Miss Curran had recorded that she had administered a number of different medications to a patient known as Patient A when she had not. Its report said it is more likely than not that the reason Miss Curran recorded that she had administered medication and nutrition to Patient A when she had not was because she intended to cover up her failure. Miss Curran's state of mind would be regarded objectively as dishonest by the standards of ordinary decent people. Miss Curran falsified Patient A's medication administration record chart to cover up her omissions and deliberately misrepresent that she had provided care that she had not. A complaint was made about Miss Curran's actions by Patient A's wife, who had been in his private room from 10 a.m. until 7 p.m. on the day in question. Miss Curran was suspended within a week of the complaint being made and, despite resigning shortly afterwards, was sacked within 2 weeks after an internal disciplinary process. Patient A's wife had also requested that the patient be suctioned as part of his care, but this was not provided by Miss Curran. The misconduct panel's report said this was dangerous and could have resulted in Patient A choking on his secretions. Miss Curran's actions fell seriously short of the conduct and standards expected of a nurse. Miss Curran put Patient A, who was highly vulnerable, at unwarranted risk of harm by not administering prescribed medication and nutrition, which could have caused weight loss and other health complications, as well as not suctioning him upon his wife's request. By way of dishonesty and failing to undertake basic care responsibilities she should have been adhering to, Miss Curran brought the nursing profession into disrepute. Miss Curran has not demonstrated insight into the impact of her behaviour, but rather chose to deflect and minimise. The panel decided to strike Miss Curran from the register with an interim suspension order made to cover the 28-day appeal period.
Hello, my name's Cherry. New mobile CCTV cameras installed in Hemel Hempstead Town Centre are helping to tackle serious crime in the area. During the first 3 months of operation, the cameras, which have been installed in the town centre and parts of the old town, have assisted with more than 60 incidents. Funding for the 6 cameras came from the Home Office as part of Operation Hotspot, which was launched in the county last year. Extra foot patrols have been carried out across the county, while additional crime prevention measures have also been introduced as part of the operation. The hotspots were identified following an analysis of data with the cameras assisting with incidents, including locating missing and wanted people, investigations into assaults and violent crime, safeguarding matters, drug criminality and vehicle crime. During the patrols in Hemel Hempstead from April the 1st to November the 1st, 1,379 additional hours of high visibility patrols were carried out. 7 additional arrests were made on top of normal daily arrests. 10 additional stop searches were carried out, and antisocial behaviour powers were utilised 43 times. PC James Tassel from the Operation Hotspot policing team said, "Operation Hotspot has yielded some fantastic results across the county since it launched, with thousands of hours of additional patrols being carried out and extra arrests being made. Alongside the patrols, we've sought to put additional measures in place to help prevent crime from taking place and to help us identify perpetrators more easily when crimes do occur. These new cameras are already helping us to do just that." Councillor Simi Dihani, Decorum Borough Council's portfolio holder for housing and property services, added, "The new mobile CCTV cameras mark a step forward in our commitment to making Decorum a safer and more welcoming place for everyone. The cameras support the work of our local police while also helping residents, businesses and visitors feel more secure. We are committed to creating standards in our town centre that ensure everyone feels safe and welcome."
Hello, this is Eleanor. An acclaimed Bangladeshi restaurant in Hemel Hempstead has been named the 2025 Restaurant of the Year at a prestigious awards ceremony. Saffron in the High Street was crowned Restaurant of the Year for the East of England region at a star-studded ceremony held at Park Plaza Hotel in Westminster, London, on Sunday the 9th of November. The ceremony marked the 65th anniversary of the Bangladesh Caterers Association, that's BCA, with industry professionals celebrating the impact of the organisation since it was formed in 1960, while shaping the future for decades to come. Owner Tahir Ula Khan said, "We are delighted to be recognised by the Bangladesh Caterers Association and are so proud to have won this award against some of the region's greatest curry houses." Saffron is one of 13 regional restaurants to have been honoured across the country at a glittering award ceremony attended by a host of prominent MPs and ministers, including Sir Stephen Timms, Seema Malhotra, Mike Reader and Kevin Bonavia. The ceremony was presented by stand-up comedian Maisie Adam and Talk TV's Ian Collins. A message of good wishes was received from King Charles and Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer. Atik Rahman, BCA Awards convener, said, "This year's awards has been a resounding success, showcasing the most outstanding talent in our industry and charting the progress of British curry culture over the past 65 years. It has been incredibly rewarding to see the appreciation for Bangladeshi cuisine continue to grow in the UK. Our forefathers have created a legacy that we can all celebrate while shaping an exciting future for our sector." Ollie Khan, BCA president, added, "Bangladeshi curry is part and parcel of modern British life, and these awards are a celebration of the incredible talent that continues to shine across our industry. Chefs and restaurants are always looking to innovate to make sure diners can enjoy the very best experience, and we are working hard to make the next 65 years even more successful for Bangladeshi cuisine." The Bangladeshi Caterers Association was set up in 1960 and represents 12,000 restaurateurs across the UK.
This week in history. On November 23rd, 1963, the first episode of the BBC TV serial Doctor Who was screened in Britain. The Doctor was played by William Hartnell. On this date last year, Andy Murray made the shock decision to coach his longtime rival Novak Djokovic during the Australian Open. Murray, who retired after the Summer Olympics at the age of 37, joined the Serbian's team in the off-season. November the 24th, 1991. Freddie Mercury, lead singer of the rock group Queen, died aged 45. On this date last year, Dwayne The Rock Johnson said starring in Moana brought him closer to his Polynesian culture as he reflected on the importance of representation on screen. The Hollywood star, whose mother is Samoan, returned to his role as the beloved demigod Maui for the sequel to Disney's 2016 animated hit. November the 25th, 1984. Britain's top rock stars, responding to a call by Bob Geldof, gathered together under the name Band Aid to record Do They Know It's Christmas in aid of the Ethiopian famine appeal. November the 26th, 1942. The film Casablanca, starring Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman, premiered at the Hollywood Theatre in New York.
Last week, the community in Berkhamsted gathered once more for the annual commemorations of the fallen in war. On Remembrance Sunday, there was an act of remembrance at 11 a.m. by Rectory Lane Cemetery War Memorial, and in the afternoon, the High Street was closed for the Royal British Legion parade to the High Street War Memorial, followed by a remembrance service in St Peter's, supported as always by the church choir and the Hemel Hempstead Brass Band. Among the dignitaries present were the Berkhamsted Town Mayor, Susan Jordan, and the MP for Harpenden and Berkhamsted, Victoria Collins. Tuesday was Armistice Day, and a small crowd gathered around the war memorial outside St Peter's to pay their respects at 11 a.m. on the 11th day of the 11th month.
As part of the move towards local government reorganisation, Hertfordshire's two-tier system of county council and 10 district and borough councils is expected to be replaced with a smaller number of unitary authorities by 2028. And in recent months, leaders of Hertfordshire's existing 11 councils have been looking at a number of unitary options for the future. Last week, the leaders agreed on a draft joint submission to the government that outlines three different options that would see existing councils be replaced with two, three or four unitary authorities. But before the document is submitted to the government, each of the county's 11 councils will have to determine which of the three options they support. Ultimately, it will be the government that determines which of the council's options to take forward or whether to respond with an option of their own. Here is a brief summary of each of the three options. Two unitary authority option. Under the first option, the county would be split into two unitary authorities, east and west. In the east would be areas currently covered by Broxbourne, East Harts, North Harts, Stevenage and Welwyn Hatfield councils. In the west would be Decorum, Hartsmere, St Albans, Three Rivers and Watford. Each authority would serve a population of around 600,000, with a total of 234 councillors across the two authorities. Estimates suggest the change would cut local government costs by around 50 million a year, with estimated cumulative savings of between 366 million and 418 million in the first 10 years. Three unitary authority option. An alternative in the council's draft submission would be to split the county into three unitary authorities, East, West and Central. Under this option, the East would include areas currently covered by Broxbourne, East Harts, North Harts and Stevenage councils. The West would include areas currently covered by Decorum, Three Rivers and Watford, as well as the Bushy North and Bushy South County Council divisions. And the Central Authority would include areas currently covered by Hartsmere, St Albans and Welwyn Hatfield, without the County Council divisions of Bushy North and Bushy South. Populations in each of these three authorities would range between 350,000 and 480,000, and there would be 234 councillors overall. Estimates suggest the three authority model would cut costs between 181 million and 258 million in the first 10 years. Four unitary authority option. In addition, the council's draft document includes proposals for the county to be split into four unitary authorities: West, Southwest, Central and East. The West would include areas currently covered by Decorum and St Albans councils. The Southwest would include areas currently covered by Hartsmere, Three Rivers and Watford councils. Central would include the bulk of the existing North Harts and Welwyn Hatfield councils, as well as Stevenage. And East would include areas currently covered by Broxbourne and East Harts councils, as well as the current North Harts wards of Arbury, Ermine, Royston Heath, Royston Meridian, Royston Palace and Weston and Sandon, and the existing Welwyn Hatfield ward of North Orr and Cuffley. Populations in these four unitary authorities would vary between 290,000 and 320,000, and according to the proposal, there would be 327 councillors. Estimates suggest that it would save 124 million over the first 10 years.
The leader of Decorum Borough Council's minority Liberal Democrat administration, Councillor Sally Symington, has backed plans for Hertfordshire to be split into two unitary authorities. But the council as a whole wants the county to be divided into four new authorities. A final decision on which option is formally supported by the Decorum Borough Council was due to be taken at a cabinet meeting on Tuesday, with Councillor Symington stating that the Liberal Democrat cabinet will be fully cognizant of the will of this chamber. The government-led local government reorganisation is set to see Hertfordshire County Council and the 10 district and borough councils abolished, with unitary authorities created instead. The new authorities will take over all local government responsibilities in the areas they cover. It means that services previously divided between the county council and district council will be placed under the control of a single authority. In Hertfordshire, a 410-page joint submission from all 11 councils will be put forward to the government later this month, with each council supporting one of three options for the county to be divided into two, three or four unitary authorities. At a meeting on November the 12th, borough councillors in Decorum debated which option to back, with 26 supporting the four unitary model against 16 for the two unitary model. No councillors voted for the three unitary model. Councillor Symington, who said she had given her Liberal Democrat group a free vote on the issue, voted in favour of the two unitary option, while councillors Andrew Williams and Angela Mitchell, the leaders of the Conservative and Labour groups respectively, spoke in support of the four unitary model. A final decision on the reorganisation of local government in Hertfordshire will be taken by the government in the summer of next year.
Continuing on with this story, financial modelling suggests the two unitary option would make the highest cost savings over the first 10 years when compared with the current system of local government of between 366 million and 418 million, compared to 124 million for the four unitary option. Councillor Symington said the two unitary model would bring the greatest financial savings and the greatest financial resilience, and would break up the huge social services for adults and children in the least disruptive way. She continued, "It's incredibly important in a cost of living crisis that we do not dismiss the financial impact longer term on our residents of having higher council taxes than are strictly necessary. It isn't just about that, it's about being able to deliver those services across a wider area. This process has been forced upon us. It isn't what we would choose to be doing, but we are required to bring forward a single option for this council. We can only hope and strive to make possible that it delivers better services for our residents in the long term." The council leader added that the new authority covering Dacorum should be based in Hemel Hempstead, while deputy leader Councillor Simi Diani also spoke in favour of the two unitary model. Councillor Williams echoed Councillor Symington's concerns that local government reorganisation was happening at all. He said the process was being carried out to fix something in Hertfordshire that certainly isn't broken in the first place. Councillor Williams continued, "There's an awful lot of money to be wasted and time to be spent on something that we needn't be doing." Speaking in favour of the four unitary model, he said, "Let's look at what's best for the residents of Dacorum, what gives the best democratic accountability. We should not make a decision based purely on ticking a number of boxes that the government feels we should tick. We should make a decision based on what we think is best for our residents." The Labour group leader, Councillor Angela Mitchell, said her group backed the introduction of unitary authorities and added, "This will make it easier for residents to access services as well as achieving significant cost savings by eliminating duplication." Explaining the Labour Group's decision to support the four unitary option, Councillor Mitchell continued, "Although a two unitary model would potentially benefit from economies of scale, financials are just one of the six criteria set by the government and it should not be given excessive weight. The Labour Group feels strongly that democracy must remain as localised as possible and that the voices of people living in Dacorum should not be diluted and lost in a massive local government area." The four unitary model was also supported by independent Councillor Jan Madden, who described it as the least bad option. A government consultation on the proposals for local government reorganisation in Hertfordshire is expected in spring next year before a final decision is made in the summer. The provisional timeline sets out that elections to the new unitary authorities would be carried out in May 2027 before taking over from the current councils in 2028.
Social care officials in Hertfordshire are looking to recruit a small number of extraordinary people to care for some of the county's most vulnerable youngsters, with the offer of an annual £80,000 allowance per child. Former police officers, teachers, health professionals and social workers are among those being targeted to join the County Council's NEST scheme, which stands for Nurture, Empathy and Supporting Transitions. Those selected for the scheme will be asked to foster the children, who would otherwise require residential care, until they reach adulthood. There are already two children who have moved from residential care to NEST foster placements as part of the county's groundbreaking pilot scheme. By January 2026, officials at Hertfordshire County Council say they hope a further 3 children in care will have been placed in the project, bringing the total number of children to 5. The children, expected to be aged 7 and above, will all have spent time in residential children's homes and may have suffered significant trauma. Unlike the council's network of mainstream foster carers, NEST foster carers won't be allowed to have any other child under 16 living at home and would have to give up any existing employment. Officials say they expect the NEST foster placements to lead to positive outcomes for the individual children involved. Crucially, the scheme, say officers, will also allow more children in care to remain within Hertfordshire, maintaining existing links with family, friends and schools. The County Council's Head of Fostering, Kinship and Adoption, Lynn Knowles, believes the scheme is an important addition to services for children in care in the county. There are children where we think having a family home environment would be beneficial, where they don't have to share or compete to have their needs met, she said. And for them, having a warm, homely environment with 1 or 2 parental figures to identify with can be better.
Continuing, Miss Knowles points to the potential emotional, physical and educational benefits for the child, but she also acknowledges the financial benefits of the scheme to the County Council. The average cost of an independent residential home is £7,300 a week, so more than £300,000 a year, she said. Paying £80,000 could still be a cost reduction to the council of over £220,000 a year, as opposed to a place in residential care. We know that institutions cost a lot to run, and unfortunately, because there's limited provision, it's a very high cost. The allowance for the new NEST foster carers are significantly more than £500 a week paid to the bulk of the county's mainstream foster carers. But officials say the higher salaries reflect the massive commitment and are needed to attract those who will be expected to give up any existing employment. However, they also stress that the ability to make relationships and to be accepting of different behaviours is more important than any prior professional experience. This role could be so rewarding, said Miss Knowles, but we also know the realities of people having mortgages and rent payments and having lifestyles that they want to keep, and that's important too. If we are saying you can't work, we have got to make it financially worth someone's while. For this project, we wanted to do something a bit different by saying you can afford to leave full-time employment. The NEST scheme, initially referred to an intensive fostering, was launched back in September 2024. It was developed with the deliberate aim of providing safe and nurturing foster homes for a small number of children who would otherwise be cared for in residential care homes. This, according to officials, would provide an opportunity for children to grow up in a family environment in their own community, enhancing their outcomes. The initial target was to support 6 children to move from residential care to fostering by January 2026. Foster carers within the scheme are offered therapeutic parenting training, and carers and children will receive ongoing support from professionals.
Hemel Hempstead MP David Taylor has launched a new Special Educational Needs and Disabilities SEND consultation to hear directly from parents, carers and teachers about the challenges of securing the right support for children who need it most. He will be using the findings to draft a report, which he will personally hand to the Education Secretary. Every child deserves the right support to reach their full potential, but too often families are left fighting a complex and unfair system. This consultation will give parents, carers and teachers a real say in what needs to change. I want to take their voices directly to the Department for Education and make sure Hemel's SEND community is heard loud and clear. The APPG on SEND is a cross-party group of MPs and peers dedicated to improving support and outcomes for children and young people with special educational needs and disabilities. Its members work together to scrutinise government policy, share best practice, and push for reforms that make a difference in the classroom. Mr. Taylor has met with the Education Secretary several times to discuss SEND issues and has raised the matter repeatedly in Parliament, calling for fairer national funding, faster assessments and stronger local support services. Once the consultation closes, all responses will be analysed to identify key themes and priorities. A round table will then be held with parents, carers and educators to develop local solutions before presenting the findings directly to the Department for Education.
Plans to get rid of outdated and unjustified subsidies to town and parish councils in Dacorum will continue despite suggestions that it could set off a town against country row in the borough. Currently, Dacorum Borough Council pays £254,000 each year to town and parish councils in the borough to help cover costs for wardens and other services such as maintaining open spaces and public halls. But the leader of the council's minority Liberal Democrat administration, Councillor Sally Symington, Berkhamsted West, said the grants are outdated and unjustified subsidies and that the current system is indefensible. The plan is for the warden grants, worth £132,000 a year, to be slashed to nothing over the next 2 years, and for a further £116,000 of yearly funding to be reviewed. That £116,000 currently pays for concurrent services, which are services that can be provided by either the borough council or the town and parish councils. To replace the payments, the borough council hopes to create a £200,000 town and parish council investment grant from next year to support investment in community assets and high streets. Some parts of the borough, such as Hemel Hempstead, do not have a parish or town council, and more than half of residents live in areas without a town or parish council. Councillor Symington said, "Even between the town and parish councils, there's no sense of equity, let alone between the parished areas and the unparished areas. This is an attempt to have a fair system across the whole of Dacorum. It is clear that the current arrangements are iniquitous, inconsistent and irregular. Why does North Church receive £16,000 in concurrent services, yet Tring gets less than £500? Why does Flamstead get over £7,000 in warden grants and Great Gaddesden gets nothing?" Speaking about the plans to cut warden grants to zero, she said, "There are no warden services across Hemel Hempstead. The residents of Hemel do not have that services. In the towns and parishes, some of them don't have a warden and they're receiving so-called funds for a warden. Everybody rightly deserves to live in a beautiful and well-kept place, but the towns and parishes are getting funds for something that they're not spending them on. This is an attempt to have a fair system across the whole of Dacorum. This isn't about just giving funds to favoured areas. We can clearly see that those funds are not given to the people in Dacorum. They are only given to the towns and parishes. We want the best result for everybody, and everybody includes everybody across Hemel Hempstead as well as across Dacorum."
Continuing this story, The proposal to cut the grants led to suggestions from an independent borough councillor, Councillor Lara Pringle, Northchurch, that Councillor Symington was setting town against country. At the same time, the Conservative group argued the plans would lead to residents in parished areas facing double taxation. Councillor Terry Douris, Conservative Ashridge, who brought a motion to a council meeting on Wednesday 22nd of October in an attempt to stop the cuts, said the grant currently pays for town and parish councils to deliver services that are provided by Dacorum Borough Council in the other areas of the borough. He said the cuts would be unfair and unjust, and continued, "If the concurrent services grant is withdrawn, parish councils will be forced to purchase services from their own reserves or by increasing the individual parish precept levied upon residents for the services which residents in Hemel Hempstead get at no extra charge." Councillor Douris's Conservative colleague, Councillor Philip Walker, Bovingdon, Flaundon and Chipperfield, warned that the removal of the grant would see parish precepts put up. Councillor Walker, who is also a Bovingdon parish councillor, said, "Bovingdon spends every penny of that grant on what it should be spent on. If it is removed, then we will raise the precept by 15%. It's money that's needed. It's not banked. It is more efficient if it is done by the village than being done elsewhere." Councillor Douris's motion was narrowly defeated by 22 votes to 21, with the proposals then being considered at a Finance and Resources Committee meeting on Wednesday 5th of November. Councillor William Allen, Liberal Democrats Boxmoor, portfolio holder for Corporate and Commercial, denied that the plans would represent double taxation and continued, "Making cuts is not easy. We didn't come into administration to make cuts, and it brings no pleasure to have to look at this budget line. But to have no cuts is unrealistic in the current fiscal climate, where the borough has had to save £11 million since 2016 and still has to make savings of £2 million in the next couple of years. In effect, central government is requiring local government to depend on its own resources and its own tax base." Councillor Lynn Greenfield, a Labour representative for Bennett's End, hit back against the suggestion that the changes would mean double taxation for residents in parished areas. She said, "My ward is an unparished ward. My residents would say they are currently paying a double tax for residents who live in parishes. A percentage of the council tax that my non-parished residents pay goes to fund wardens, potentially in parished areas. This should be about how we spend public money fairly for our residents. The plans will be finalised at a cabinet meeting in December."
Now we come to the information slot. This is followed by the obituaries, what's on, and any more news. We're happy to share the next Vocal Eyes What's On Guide with you, issue 79, covering audio described events from December 2025 to February 2026, which is now published. The audio version is available as a complete guide or 17 individual tracks with listings arranged by area. There may be additional audio described events on our website which we are unable to include in the guide, so we strongly recommend you visit What's On for the most up-to-date listings. Please note, while every effort has been made to ensure that details in the listings are correct, please double-check with the venues for dates, times, and availability of touch tours when booking. If you would like to receive the What's On Guide in a different format, it's available in clear print, by post, braille, or an audio USB. Please contact us by emailing enquiries at vocaleyes.co.uk or calling 020-7375-1043.
The obituary on the family announcement page this week is Edmund Joseph Gallagher, known as Eddie, aged 82 years. May he rest in peace.
What's on? Theatre. Christmas Gothic at the Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, November 22nd and 23rd. The Old Town Hall's resident company, the award-winning Dyad Productions, is back with its atmospheric celebration of the festive ghost story. A dark and spectral woman tells haunting tales of the festive season, lighting a candle to the frailties of human nature and illuminating the cold and chilling depths of the bleak wintry dark. Dyad Productions resurrects a Victorian tradition by presenting three seasonal tales of terror to scintillate the flesh for dark nights. Visit oldtownhall.co.uk or call 228091. And A Christmas Carol, Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, November 25th and 26th. It's Christmas Eve, and the miserly misanthrope Ebenezer Scrooge is about to have a ghostly night he'll never forget. Dickens' festive and timeless tale of redemption and compassion is brought to life by the theatre's in-house company Dyad in its trademark solo style. Taking inspiration from Dickens' original performances of his own work and utilising the narrator of the novel to bring the story to life, the piece is performed by Andrew Margerison, whose credits include Frantic Assembler's Fatherland and Macbeth. And it's directed by Rebecca Vaughan, whose credits include That Knave Raleigh. Visit oldtownhall.co.uk or call 228091 to book. And music, Abby Farrell, stories behind the songs, Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, November the 29th. An intimate evening of acoustic music with the songwriter and soul artist performing her own music alongside new arrangements of songs that have inspired her. Call 228091 to book.
At St Peter's Church, High Street, Berkhamsted, on Sunday the 7th of December 2025, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m, Berkhamsted Choral Society perform A Winter's Night by McDowell, plus Christmas music and carols for choir and audience with Bridgewater School Choir and English Philharmonia Brass, Yestin Evans on organ and William Willey conductor. Tickets are available in advance from Ticket Pass, tktp.as/edfqxv, or from Brown and Merry Estate Agents, Berkhamsted. Tickets are £22 on the door. Under 18s are free. Contact details: O'Reilly29@btinternet.com. Telephone 07979 428 910, or website berkhamstedchoral.com.
Tring's Christmas Festival, Saturday the 29th of November 2025, 15:30 to 20:30, free event for everyone. High Street, Tring, Hertfordshire, HP23 5AE, parking available, disabled access available. Tring comes alive with music, lights, stalls, reindeer and all things Christmas. We will have beautifully lit memorial garden where you will find Father and Mother Christmas in their grotto, handing out gifts alongside two of their reindeer. The High Street and Victoria Hall will be full of exciting stalls, selling gifts and food and drink. There will be a fun fair at the top of the High Street, plus four stages of music with something for everyone. Enjoy the magic in Tring. Contact details, email info@tringtogether.org.uk. phone 01442 828920.
St Peter's Renovation Appeal fundraising team is working to raise funds to repair the leaking roof. The church roof is clad in two different materials: lead, covering the Lady Chapel, the north transept and the vestry, and copper, covering the nave, the St John Chantry and the St Catherine Chapel. The lead roof is well on the way to being fixed. We hope the work will begin next year. 2026 will be the year for this to happen. At the moment, we've put the contract out to tender and we will decide who will be the contractors to take on this project. This news will be known by the end of this month. The bigger project will be the copper roof, and this will take a lot more money to fix, somewhere in the region of a six-figure sum. This project will be ongoing for years, but we will get there eventually. The fundraising team will be looking at ways of obtaining grants and continuing the fundraising work. We have raised some much needed money in the past few years for the lead roof, and now we need to go for the bigger project.
Saturday, the 22nd of November, Arts and Crafts Fair in aid of St Peter's Church Roof Fund. Another arts and crafts fair in the courthouse will take place between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m, raising funds for the St Peter's Renovation Appeal, which will go towards fixing the leaking roof. Come and browse the free exhibition of artworks and crafts, meet local artists and makers, purchase unique works of art, maybe even find a special early Christmas gift, and enjoy teas, coffees and cakes.
On Sunday 23rd of November, the Festival of Light. The Berkhamsted Festival of Light is the town's annual winter celebration. Among the many attractions will be a street fair, live entertainment, festive food stalls, fairground rides, Santa's parade and the Elves' Posting House in the courthouse. St Peter's Church will be open to the public with a spectacular display of candles lighting the historic building, and we'll be selling hot mulled wine. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to welcome thousands of visitors into the church and engage with our local community, so do please support the festival this year.
Almhouses Prize Draw. The trustees of the John Sayer Almhouses have launched a special prize draw to raise funds for vital restoration work. To make the four almshouses habitable again for someone in need, the prize is four tickets to see the award-winning musical Starlight Express at Wembley. Donate £10 for one entry, £20 for three entries, or £50 gets you 10 entries. You can also enter the draw for free by post. Entries close 12 noon on the 15th of December 2025. To enter the draw, visit crownfunder.co.uk/PST/starlight-express-t.
Through the Longest Night, fundraising for suicide prevention charity. Father Stuart Owen, Rector of St Peter's Berkhamsted, will be walking through the longest night of the year to raise money for local suicide prevention charity Hector's House. Setting out just before sunset, 3:53 p.m. on Friday the 19th of December, and coming home around 9 a.m. on Saturday the 20th of December, sunrise 8:06 a.m. The walk will be around 50 miles. If you would like to support the great work of Hector's House, you can sponsor Father Stuart here. www.justgiving.com/page/Stuart, that's S-T-U-A-R-T hyphen Owen, O-W-E-N hyphen 9.
The Scouts Christmas Tree Collection Service returns again this year, with the main collection day on Sunday the 4th of January 2026. This annual fundraising event helps to pay for the camping equipment, materials and activities that Scouts across Berkhamsted and surrounding villages enjoy and benefit from. We collect natural Christmas trees from outside homes across Berkhamsted and take them to the council-run chipper at Canal Fields, who then use the chippings on flower beds and parks. It's our 16th year of running it. Other local scout groups help. First Berkhamsted scout groups coordinate online bookings and payments, including North Church, Potten End, Gossam's End, Little Gaddesden, and the VVV Explorer Group. We keep our price low, a donation of £6, as we think of this as part of our community service. We want to keep the service accessible to all. We want to reduce the number of car journeys on that day and contribute to effective recycling. And we want to keep our groups financially secure for current and future scouts. How do you sign up? Visit trees.firstberkhamsted.org.uk/bookings, which are open from the 1st of December. A thank you to our sponsors, Gom Gom Design, Lovelow Cycle Works and TPC, Berkhamsted School, Home Counties Loft Ladders and Exdell's Removers.
And now for the basketball. Taylor Johnson led the charge on his return to the Storm Dome as his side claimed an 83-75 victory over Bristol Hurricanes on Saturday night. It was the Americans' first appearance in Hemel in 575 days, having re-signed for his third spell at the club last month, and he marked the occasion with a 30-point display. His arrival coincided with a relentless road run for Jake Rothgull's men, with four long away trips on the bounce, and home comforts proved enough to help them snap a rare three-game losing streak and claim their second British Championship Basketball League win. Defeats to Nottingham Hoods, Yorkshire Dragons and Newcastle Knights were all tight affairs, symbolic of an even league boasting talent throughout, and Storm finally found themselves on the right side of the fine margins and were afforded the fortune they've lacked in recent weeks. Bristol, whose only win of the season so far came at the same arena in the BCB Trophy, fought hard, despite missing American James Clar and seeing Denzel Ubario ejected. But Storm were able to shake off some late nerves and get over the line in front of a sold-out crowd. Matt Norman had 21 for the hosts and was the only man alongside Johnson to register double digits. But there were contributions from the whole side, including 15 assists for Sam Newman and 13 rebounds for Darian Nelson-Henry. Norman's fast start helped Storm grab an early lead, knocking down a trio of three-pointers as his side took the first period 27-23. He and Johnson continued to pose the main threat for the hosts, with the latter making a pair of free throws to end the half 10 to the good, 50-40 the score. A run of 10 early third-quarter points ended in a technical foul as Johnson entered the fierce zone of determination familiar to many in these parts. Jovan Rye replaced him and ensured his side remained in the ascendancy, notching 5 points, much to the delight of the home crowd. A missed layup from Obario ended the third period at 71-62, but the former Newcastle Eagle felt he had been fouled and remonstrated with the officials. A prolonged confrontation ended in a technical foul and he was ejected from the game due to an earlier unsportsmanlike foul, an important moment with the guard, his side's bright spark to that stage with 21 points. Nonetheless, it was never going to be straightforward for Storm, such has been the way recently, and the Hurricanes remained in touching distance throughout the fourth. Alarm bells began to ring when Kai Walker limped off injured with just under 5 minutes to play, and the guests narrowed the deficit to 7 soon after. But Nelson Henry and Johnson converted, 4 of only 7 points scored in the final 3.5 minutes, as both offences defaulted, and Storm had their first win of November. Winning is a habit, and Storm will hope to bounce off this victory as they travel to Derby for another tough test against the Trailblazers next weekend. Tickets for that one are available here, while Storm return home on 29th November for the visit of Bristol Flyers 2.
Football. Lee Allison was delighted with his Hemel Hempstead Town players after they progressed in the FA Trophy last weekend. The Tudors beat Chelmsford City 6-5 on penalties after a 0-0 draw, Michael Johnson making 3 saves in the shootout to help his side progress. And Boss Allinson told the club's media that whilst it wasn't a game with much quality, he was delighted to have got through. He said we were happy with the changes we made and there was a lot of grit and determination from both sides. I just felt the game lacked massive quality and I thought it was one where nobody wanted to put their foot on it and make things happen. There was a lack of chances. We hit the post in the first half, they did in the second, but MJ hasn't had loads to do and nor has their goalkeeper as the two teams cancelled each other out. We made a few changes and it's really positive to get minutes into those players and we found a way in the end. The one pleasing thing is that we conceded 4 goals last week but kept a clean sheet on Tuesday and another one today, so that's a massive bonus and something we can take forward. Hemel will now face Horsham in the next round on Saturday, December the 13th. Who are, ironically, will be the Tudors' next league opponents too, as they arrive this weekend in the National League South. Hemel are 6th in the table and Horsham 5th, but Allison's men have 3 games in hand and could go as high as the 3rd with a win.
We're coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 7:33 a.m. and 4:03 p.m. For those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, "Alexa, open the Talking Newspaper skill." Alexa will ask you which broadcast you want to listen to. When prompted, reply, "Play the Decorum Talking Newspaper." This part can be tricky. If Alexa offers the wrong station, just say no and then try again. For those who are listening to this week's news via a memory stick, after the music, there's the amenities section that gives details of various groups and the contact details of organisations. Please remove your memory stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Seal it up firmly, turn the label over and post it back to us using any Royal Mail post box. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Gary, your technician for this week. And since this is the last time Team One will read before the new year, we wish you a very happy Christmas. And we'll be with you again in 2026. Goodbye.